Have you ever noticed yourself getting close to someone only to back away the minute it feels real? Does closeness feel comforting and overwhelming all at once? I get it, because I learned I have an anxious avoidant attachment style. Those are big words. And if this sounds familiar, you might too. Sometimes we wonder why we're drawn to someone only to pull away as soon as things start to feel too intimate. You want the connection, but your body reacts like it's trying to protect you from something you can't name. It's a confusing push-pull cycle, but there's a real reason it happens. And just to be clear, some therapists call this fearful avoidant or disorganized attachment, but most people know it as anxious avoidant. And that's the term I'm going to use. So today, we're going to look at what anxious avoidant attachment is, the signs, and how to finally break free. Welcome to Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate. If you want to stop yelling, end the daily power struggles, or manage your frustration better but don't know how, you're in the right place. I get it. I was there too. As a grandma, I finally started learning the emotional life skills I wish I'd learned at a younger age. Each week, I share simple, practical life lessons to help you develop social-emotional skills so you can be the calm, confident inspiration to others. You'll find today's lesson in the show notes as a blog post so you can revisit it or share it with someone who needs it. New episodes drop every Thursday, so hit that subscribe button. And hey, if something here speaks to you, leave a quick review to help others find these life lessons too. Ready to level up? Every week, I'll send one life lesson delivered straight to your inbox. 100 words, a 60-second read, pure inspiration. Anxious avoidant attachment style is a pattern of behavior, not your identity. And it can leave you feeling confused or even ashamed, like you should just be normal. It's something your body learned to do long before you even knew what attachment meant. This pattern usually forms in childhood when the people you depended on for love were warm and caring some days and distant, stressed, or overwhelmed on others, and you didn't know why. As a child, you learn to reach for closeness while also protecting yourself from the next blow-up or sudden change in mood. That mix of comfort and fear becomes the anxious avoidant pattern you feel today. Before we get into the signs, I want to make something clear. This isn't the same as separation anxiety. I'm not afraid of being alone. I'm afraid of being myself around people who are unpredictable, critical, or dismissive. My body reacts to their tone shifts, the little jabs, and the inconsistencies, not to physical distance. And when I get hurt, I don't cling. I pull back. That mix of wanting closeness and protecting myself at the same time is the anxious avoidant pattern. So here are 7 signs that can help you identify if this is your life experience. Physical and emotional reactions. Sometimes the first sign shows up in your body. For example, your partner might take longer than usual to text back, and suddenly you feel panic rising, even though nothing is actually wrong. Your heart races, your stomach tightens, and your mind jumps to thoughts like, did I do something wrong? Or are they pulling away? This happens because your body learned long ago that silence meant danger. So now it reacts before you even understand why. And 2, reaching out for closeness when you feel it slipping away. Sometimes the fear makes you reach out again and again, even when a part of you knows it might push the person further away. For example, if someone gets quiet, you might text more or ask, is everything okay? Because the silence feels unbearable. You might even start a small argument without even meaning to, just to break the tension, because negative attention feels safer than being ignored. This isn't manipulation on your part. It's your nervous system trying to hold on to a connection it's scared of losing. Number 3, difficulty with independence. Being alone doesn't feel peaceful. Instead, it feels like abandonment, even when your partner is doing everyday healthy things on their own. You catch yourself checking your phone, wondering where they are or what they're thinking. It's hard to relax when you don't feel connected. This isn't about being needy. It's about your nervous system never learning that connection can survive distance. And number 4, you have hypervigilance to external signs of disconnection. You become extra sensitive to tiny changes in the other person, shifts most people wouldn't even notice. Their tone may sound flatter, or they turn their body slightly away from you during the conversation. Maybe their face looks more serious, or they sigh in a way that feels different. Suddenly, your mind jumps to figuring out whether something is wrong or if you did something to upset them. Your nervous system stays on high alert because even small shifts in someone's energy feels like early warning signs of losing the connection. And number 5, self-abandonment. You push down your own needs to keep the peace. You soften the truth, ignore your feelings, or agree to things that don't feel right because you're scared of conflict or distance. You shrink yourself, hoping it will make the relationship feel safer. But every time you abandon yourself, the anxiety grows. And number 6, difficulty trusting reassurance. Even when someone reassures you, it doesn't stick for long. You believe it for a minute, but then you start doubting it again. You need more reassurance because the fear underneath is more profound than the moment you're in. It's not neediness. It's old pain looking for safety. And number 7, when your mind jumps to the worst case scenario, minor issues feel huge. A typical disagreement or quiet day turns into fears like, they're going to leave me, or this is all falling apart. Your mind jumps straight to the worst case scenario because it has never felt safe staying in the middle. Everything feels either completely okay or completely gone. And this is exactly what happened to me the other day when a simple conversation turned into a moment I didn't expect. I was talking with a friend who brought up a topic I had an opinion on, and I was excited to share it with them. At first, everything felt like an everyday conversation. But then something shifted. And suddenly, I felt myself getting defensive, louder, and reacting in a way that made me think, "What the heck is happening here?" I couldn't figure it out until it hit me. My nervous system was starting to tingle. My friend said, "I don't disagree with you." You see, I stopped listening at "I don't." My brain heard disagreement, not agreement. Most people would simply say, "I agree with you," not "I don't disagree with you." It was a double negative that took too much thought. This is exactly how the anxious avoidant pattern shows up in my life. But now I have the awareness to see and feel what's going on. I want connection, but I withdraw when things start getting tense. I reacted so strongly, not because of that one sentence, but because my nervous system has learned to sense mood shifts like that. It doesn't look toxic on the surface, but underneath, your whole body knows something is wrong. That's the anxious avoidance cycle right there. I wanted to connect with my friend, but as soon as I sensed something off, my instinct was to protect myself by pulling back. And once you can see that cycle in yourself, you can finally change it. Here are 5 ways to begin breaking free. Number 1. Notice the pattern without blaming yourself. The first step is recognizing when the anxious avoidance cycle shows up. For example, if you haven't heard from someone in a while and your mind starts spinning with stories about what you did wrong, pause and say, "There it is." No shame, no judgment, just noticing the pattern as it happens. That small moment of awareness gives you the power to choose a different response instead of reacting on fear. And number 2, teach your body what calm feels like. When you've spent years scanning for danger in relationships, your body reacts before your mind even understands what's happening. That's why you need moments of calm to remind your nervous system what calmness actually feels like. A slow breath, a warm drink, and fresh air are all ways to tell your body it doesn't have to panic. And when your body relaxes, you feel more comfortable being yourself instead of fearing the other person will pull away. And number 3, tell the truth about what you feel in small, simple ways. You don't have to pour your whole heart out to break the anxious avoidance cycle. Start with small truths like, "I need a minute," or "That didn't feel great for me." These quiet moments of honesty help your nervous system feel safer because you're not hiding anymore. And each time you name a feeling, you build trust in yourself instead of slipping back into silence. Number 4, step out of the fixer role. People with anxious avoidant attachment often become the peacekeeper, the rescuer, or the emotional sponge. But carrying everyone else's feelings isn't love. It's a survival strategy you learned long before adulthood. When you let go of that role, you free yourself from the constant pressure to earn love by fixing everything. And that's when your relationships become healthier or they show you their truth. And lastly, number 5, choose connections that feel safe instead of chaotic. As you heal, you'll notice who helps your body settle and who makes it tense. Safe people feel steady. You don't have to guess what version of them you'll get. You don't have to walk on eggshells. You don't have to feel confused about spending time with them. Unsafe people keep you anxious, make you apologize, or leave you unsure where you stand. Choosing the connections that make your nervous system feel calm instead of on pins and needles is one of the strongest signs you're finally breaking free. Kids develop anxious avoidant attachment when they grow up guessing how a parent feels or wondering if the connection is safe. So breaking the cycle starts with giving your kids what you didn't get. Consistency. When they see that your love doesn't disappear during stress or conflict, their nervous system learns that closeness is safe. On the other hand, when love feels unpredictable, kids learn to both crave and fear closeness. That's what creates the anxious avoidant pattern. Repair is another powerful cycle breaker. If you snap or shut down, but come back with, "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have reacted like that," you show them that mistakes don't end relationships. Most of us never saw repair growing up, so modeling it creates a secure pattern they will carry into adulthood. Healthy boundaries matter too. When you say, "I need a minute, but I'll come back," your kids learn that space doesn't equal abandonment. And when you respect their boundaries, they realize that love doesn't require shrinking or pleasing. The most significant shift comes when your kids don't have to guess what you're feeling. When you use simple, honest communication, they learn that connection doesn't require reading the room or walking on eggshells. They get to feel safe, seen, and secure. And that breaks the anxious avoidance cycle for good. Breaking free from anxious avoidant attachment isn't about becoming someone new. It's about becoming the version of you who feels safe, steady, and grounded. The version you were always meant to be. The one who doesn't chase to feel loved, doesn't pull away out of fear, and doesn't shrink to keep the peace. The more you understand this pattern, the less power it holds over you. Little by little, you start choosing connections that feel calm rather than chaotic, honest rather than confusing. You find yourself speaking up with more ease, trusting your feelings, and letting your needs matter. And slowly, something shifts. You're no longer bracing for love to hurt. You're learning what it feels like to be held, supported, and understood. Whether you're figuring out your own feelings, working through tough moments as a family, or learning how to talk things through with others, you're practicing the emotional life skills that help us grow into the people we're meant to be. Listening is wonderful, but nothing changes unless you use what you've learned. So pick one life lesson from today and try it out this week. That's where the magic happens. And if you want to keep building your social skills, hit follow for more from Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate. If no one has told you lately, everything will be okay. Tomorrow is a new day, and with it comes new hope. As I conclude this episode, I must state that this podcast is designed solely for educational and entertainment purposes. While I bring my experience as a parent and grandparent, it's essential that you know I am not a licensed therapist. This podcast is not a substitute for professional advice from a physician, professional coach, psychotherapist, or other qualified professional. Got it? Awesome. Until next time, what is one thing you are grateful for?